I hope you had a good lunch, but not that good. That makes you want to sleep through this session. Before I forget about it, I want to let you know to continue to pray for Marlene. Winter is feeling better. She's missed I think this is her third Sunday in a row, and contact her, show interest in her. She does appreciate people reaching out to her. She is feeling better, though. Cindy Saul has not been feeling well. Tony and her husband, George Seamoss, have been battling norovirus and have been very ill. And I want to pass along a greetings to you from George Bailey. Had a good visit with him on the phone this last week, and he sounded really in good spirits, and been in contact with Kathy, his daughter, as well. So continue to pray. Well, I'm going to tell you something you already know, that the prophets weren't always sent with feel-good messages. And some of those messages were against the Ammonites or the Edomites, as we'll see here. And some of them in the same message were aimed at a failure in Israel. And the prophets were to deliver what God had given them. Just pass the message along. And the mark of faithfulness was doing that, not being clever. And you may feel like, you know, a book like Obadiah, it's not a threat to me. Book of Ephesians or Philippians, or Colossians, they step on my toes at times. But I'm not an Edomite. I've never met an Edomite. And yet when you hold up God's word and the Holy Spirit's doing his work, you know what you see? It's like a mirror and you see Esau. You're looking in the mirror and you see Esau. You say, there's some things very Edomitic about myself. And part of what we call the Jordan today was this area ruled by Esau's relatives, the Edomites. Above it, you have Syria. Jordan is kind of like a long strip of land, long and narrow, not like Chile. That's really long and narrow. But still, above it is Syria. Below it is Saudi Arabia. It's this part of the Jordan River over, what we call the Transjordan. There were some Transjordanic kingdoms. Edom was one of those. And so it's in presently Jordan. Obadiah uses the words Esau and Edom interchangeably. He talks about the house of Esau, verse 1. And he talks about Edom in verses 1 and 8. Remember when, as was mentioned, Rebekah has having a difficulty in her pregnancy. And she says in Genesis 25, why is this thing happening to me? There was some intense activity going on in her womb. And that activity prefigured the hostility that would be between her sons. In fact, Genesis 25:23 says this: two nations are in your womb. Two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger. It just didn't happen that way. That made people stand up and listen. Wait, the older shall serve the younger. Now, I'm beginning to think that the shorter the book, the longer it takes me to preach through it. There's 21 verses. When we're done, it will be 5 messages. We're going to review a little bit, because the first message, the first part of it was this: Edom's past is known to God. Edom's past is known to God. That was the first point, and that goes back to October 22nd. Now, there have been things like our anniversary of our church and holidays, and so we had a message on Edom in October and one in November and one in January. Next Sunday will be another part on this, and then the final part about the day of the Lord will not be until actually March 3rd. So we're going to break this up into 5 parts and keep this book before you, okay? So Esau, as you know, was very easily parted with his birthright. He didn't value what God had given. And Jacob is also a trickster. You get these two together, and Esau is parted with his birthright. And he holds this grudge for a long time. He ends up moving down to this area. If you go Jerusalem and look at this this area of the Jordan River going down to the Gulf of Aqaba, Red Sea, you get about halfway down along that river and go to the east a little bit, and your map will say Ruins of Petra. That's that Edomite area that we're talking about. And what we are learning is that Edom's crimes against Israel, God says, is an attack against me. God will deal sooner or later against all rebels. And when God says, those that honor you, I will honor, and those who attack you, I will deal with. So Edom's past is known to God. I can't go into detail in that message. You remember it all anyway. Secondly, then in November 26, we looked at the second part. Edom's present is exposed by God. A lot of references I'm going to bring up have been in Bible passages that I've, you know, when you're studying one thing and you're doing your Bible reading, a lot of times you find what you're reading acts as a commentary on what you're studying. By the way, if you're not reading through the Bible this year, I challenge you to do so. And I made a few copies, and we can make more copies of the one that has one day is you read poetry, the other day epistles, another day history, another day Bible prophecy, etc. Well, I find that when I'm doing that and I'm reading in a different section every day, it all feeds and speaks to what I'm speaking to on Sunday. So I came across this verse in Isaiah chapter 13, verse 11. God says, I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity, and lay low, listen, the pompous pride of the ruthless. If you're studying on Obadiah and there's a reference to pride, anything you read about pride, you stop your reading, you go back to your study on Obadiah, and you put that reference there. I came across this story that Ronald Reagan, who was a pretty good president and a very good storyteller, Ronald Reagan said this. He was actually at the time the governor of California, and he was delivering a speech in Mexico City, okay? And here's what he says, first person. He says, after I had finished speaking, I sat down to a rather unenthusiastic applause, and I was a little embarrassed. The speaker who followed me spoke in Spanish, which I didn't understand, and he was being applauded about every paragraph. To hide my embarrassment, I started clapping before everyone else and longer than anyone else, until our ambassador leaned over and said, I wouldn't do that if I were you. He's interpreting your speech. So he was applauding for, it sounded like, oh, yeah, what I said was good. Everybody should be applauding that. Pride in the human heart pits us against the Creator God, because the praise that we receive to ourselves belongs to God, should be given to God. We are to deflect onto our God, not absorb to ourselves. And the proud look that Edom has that we read of in this passage, God says in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16 that he hates, right? God hates the proud look. So I want you to look with me at Obadiah 1. I'm going to jump around here a little bit. We'll actually turn to Amos in a minute. But in verse 10, because of the violence, that can refer, it's a fairly general word, it can refer to rape and murder. It can be something very general to wickedness. Because of the violence done to your brother Jacob, shame, a loss of honor, a loss of prestige. He says, you were lifted up. You're going to lose all that. Shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever. I don't know if I have 3 points, but I have 3 thoughts I want us to see. And first of all, in verse 10, their violence against Israel was acting out their pride. So we've talked about the proud will be humbled. One of the way, how do we know they were proud? What did their pride look like? Well, for one thing, it acted itself out in violence. Not long ago, and I hope we never forget this, was it October 7th, those incursions, those attacks over in Israel, and some now of those people who have been released are telling us that they were thrown in trucks and paraded through Gaza, and people came out and cheered and applauded that they were being taken into captivity. They mocked these Jews that were being paraded in front of them. Let me say, all domestic abuse, all sexual abuse, and most war is violence against God. When somebody says, I don't care, I'm going to take advantage of this person, it is an attack against God. Let me get real specific. Pride leads somebody like Jeffrey Epstein to decide that he can treat young girls like his property and get away with it. Pride leads people to think, I can be part of this sin as well, and I'll never be on a list, and no one will ever know what I did. Pride against those girls was not just a crime against them or against the state of, it was against God. And even people that we think, well, they got away with it, will give an account to God because it's violence. Verse 10, the violence done to your brother Jacob. Remember, your brother Esau and Jacob were brothers. You wouldn't know it. Okay? Verse 11, and on the day that you stood aloof. You know, there might be some subject, a sports team, a food, or something that I would ask you about. Maybe Dan and I have some real strong opinions. He's on one side on the other, and then I ask Kevin, what do you think about cheesecake? Yeah, I don't know. I don't care. What do you think about the Cubs? I don't know. Which, by the way, is an unpardonable sin. Okay. But there may be certain subjects we would say, I don't know. I'm kind of aloof. I don't really. When it says that they stood aloof, we're not to understand that there was a kind of a passive neutrality going on here. You stood aloof. It was an active opposition. So the first thing that in verse 10 was this violence against Israel that was an acting out of pride. In verse 11, it's a passive indifference. That's another example of active pride. They're proud. It's on the move. What does it look like? Passive indifference. We have to watch out for that in ourselves too. To say, I don't care. To not care. To not come to the aid of is another way of saying, you know what, really you're not worth my time or energy. Now, do I mean that every time you pull up your car in the on the freeway and you're getting ready to get off and there's somebody there that's got a sign, need $11.50 to get a room for tonight, you should roll your window down and give money? Frankly, I don't think you should ever do that, to be honest with you. I don't know if that's really good stewardship. I don't know if that's the compassion I'm talking about. But also to look at somebody like that and think, you know, I don't care about them. That's the wrong answer as well. To look at somebody, to pray, maybe give them a tract, but you're not worthy of my time or energy. You ever had this happen, that on a Wednesday night, get ready to pray with somebody, and they say, how can I pray for you? And you start telling them, and you get emotional, and you start crying, you really, and you look, and they're actually doing something on their phone, and then they look at you and go, I'm sorry, were you saying something? You know what I'm talking about? That's never happened to you? Me either. I hope it never happens in this church. Okay? But Edom looks at the fact that Israel is being attacked by the Babylonians, and they yawned, and they folded their arms, and they walked away in passive indifference. Is that neutrality? No, it's not. The Babylonians lay siege to the city. I was trying to think, can you imagine? You've been out of town, you've been out of maybe country with your family doing business up in Syria or some other place, making deals, buying fabric or whatever. And you return home, you come over the crest and you look, and there's your beautiful Jerusalem that is home, and it's surrounded by the Babylonian army. And it's crushing. And you and your family think, we can't go home. We can't walk in and say, can you let us through? That's where we live. And so you leave, you flee. You go down towards the land of Edom. At least they're like cousins to our country. And the Edomites capture you and sell you over and give you back to the Babylonians. Listen, in our text, verse 13, do not enter the gate of the people in the day of their calamity. Do not gloat over his disaster in the day of his calamity. Do not loot his wealth in the day of his calamity. Do not stand at the crossroads to cut off his fugitives. Edom, don't do this. Don't hand over his survivors in the day of his distress. Don't sell survivors as slaves. Don't think you're going to get by with this. So the third thing is, they acted with deplorable injustice to the helpless. And sometimes, frankly, we read in the minor prophets of Israel doing that to their own people. They took advantage of their own widows. They took advantage of their own infirmed. And so here you have these panicked Jews that are trying to flee from the Babylonians only to be caught by their cousins and turned over. Now turn over to Amos chapter 1. Poor Dan Thompson was walking by my office when I saw this, and he had to get an earful of what I was just studying. If you're going to knock on my door, make sure you have a minute, especially if I just dug up a jewel in God's word. In Amos chapter 1, here's God's judgment on neighbors and these different oracles. In verse 6, for three transgressions of Gaza, for four, I will not revoke the punishment. Three, four. He's not enumerating. He's not numbering. You can do this three times, but maybe four times. No, it's the idea. Don't have this incalculable number. Don't keep adding up the transgressions against my people, because they carried into exile whole people and delivered them up to Edom, verse 6 says. Verse 9, now you got an oracle against Phoenicia. For three transgressions of Tyre, for four, the same format there, I will not revoke the punishment. This has been you've been repeated offenders, okay? Because they delivered up a whole people to Edom. Did not remember the covenant. There was this breach of covenants. Probably the whole people, I would think, is in reference to the same situation Obadiah, selling of Jews. He says, I will send a fire upon them. How about verse 11 and 12? Now you've got an oracle against Edom. He says, for three transgressions of Edom, and for four, I will not revoke the punishment, because he pursued his brother with the sword. This is a commentary, I believe, on Obadiah 1:11. Pursued his brother with the sword and cast off all pity. You know what the Jews were commanded in Deuteronomy, I think it's 23:7, that they were not to act disgracefully towards the Edomites. Obviously, the Edomites didn't have a similar law in their book. It cast off all pity. He said, the Pastor Paul paraphrase on this would be something like this, that the familial compassion that you should have had, you should have seen them and said, hey, you know what? We've not always gotten along with Israel, but nobody attacks them. It's like nobody attacks my brother. But instead of doing that, you profited off it. You applauded it. And his anger tore perpetually to tear like an animal tears another animal. He says, your anger was burning at you. You ever looked at somebody that just seemed like they're always angry? He says, there were times where Edom was underneath of Israel's, we'll see that probably next Sunday afternoon, underneath Israel's control, and sometimes they were independent, but he says, one thing is for certain, your attitude is always the same. You hated Israel. And when you hated them, and you acted despitefully towards them, God says, you did it to me. And he kept his wrath forever. Well, you know who's standing at the fork of the road in this case, in Obadiah? Jews. You know who's standing at the fork in the road and getting taken advantage of is in Amos 1, that oracle against Edom. He says, the same will be done to you. They had a proud look. By the way, all of Adam's race has that look. You and I have that pride. We all bear... What did Esau look like? Me. It marks all those who are under Satan's control. The self-sufficiency that says, I'm okay. I don't need anybody. I don't need the church. I don't need God. I don't need salvation is a pride that God will lay low one day. Verse 4 of Obadiah. You know what he says to Edom? I will bring you down. You know what he says to proud hearts everywhere? Proverbs 16:18. I will bring you down. Let me wrap this up by reminding you that instead of coming to Israel's aid, I don't know what we can do, but your family, and when the Babylonians touch you, they touch us, and we'll come to your aid. No, it was be like a hyena waiting to take advantage of. And it says that they, you know what? They never repented of their deeds. They never repented, it's recorded. So again, I was reading the Psalms. Psalm 7:12 says, if a man does not repent, God will sharpen his sword. It's one thing to sin and repent, but to sin and to sin and to live in sin and continue in sin and say, it's okay. God will deal with it. So what God is saying here in Obadiah is, you know what you started? I'm going to finish. We've heard the expression buyer's remorse. He says, what you did, the grief that you caused, I'm going to cause to come upon you. Edom. Again, I was reading in the book of Job. You know, Job, I found in Job 12:23, he says, of God, he makes nations great, he destroys them, he enlarges them, he leads them away. What are we saying there? God's sovereign. Edom, you know what? When you thought you were proud and lifted up, God was giving grace. Did you give him credit? No, you didn't. And now God's going to deal with you. Remember in Obadiah, we read that they had their sages, their wise men. They considered themselves erudite and wise. And he said, and Job says in the very next verse, he takes away understanding from the chiefs of the people of the earth. It sounds like Job's talking about Edom in the book of Obadiah. Job says, and he makes them wander into a trackless waste. They grope in the dark without light. He makes them stagger like a drunken man. So today we consider for just a few minutes the people, an ancient people of Edom, and it brings us to remember verse 3 as he says, the pride of your own heart has deceived you. I'm going to ask your heads to be bowed and your eyes closed for just a moment. You know what this kind of pride looks like? This, I don't care, I don't need help. If you say, I don't have sin to confess, you're a modern-day Edomite. You're struggling with pride. If you say, I don't need the body of Christ, I don't need to be in church, I don't need accountability with the brethren, you're a modern-day Edomite. If you say, I don't need to be in the Word of God every day, I don't need the instruction, I don't need to pray and study the Word of God every day, you're a modern-day Edomite. The sin of pride exaggerates our goodness and overlooks our failures. Pride causes us to say, I'm not that bad. And yet when you're in the Word of God and the Holy Spirit's doing His work through the Word, you say, man, I know what I am. I know why I need God's Word today. I know why I need the church. I know why I need to be in prayer meeting. I know why I need people to pray for me. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, let the nations, Psalm 10 says, know that they are but men. Right now, there's a lot of saber rattling and chest beating. There are nations and leaders of nations that think they don't owe God a second thought, a first thought. They act independently of your will and all the while are doing Satan's will. They are captive to him. And Israel should be crying out and recognizing the Messiah that they crucified and calling for God to forgive them of their sin. Instead, they take care of their neighboring enemies on every side and think of they're okay because they've got America as an ally and they've got weapons. They got nothing. Until Israel turns and looks upon her Messiah and weeps and repents and has that stony heart removed and given a tender heart, they're vulnerable. Only your grace protects them to this very moment. Lord, we need to confront our own pride when we say, I don't have sin to confess. I don't need the church. I don't need the Word of God every day. I don't want to be too religious. I don't want to be too devout. We're lifted up in our thinking. Lord, we thank you that you will deal with iniquity and wickedness and rebellion around the world. We thank you that you have dealt with that in our lives by sending Jesus Christ to die in our place. And may we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed. We'll see you on Wednesday, and bring somebody with you.